This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Have you got game? Got game on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet590.ca.
This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. This week, I hope you kept your copy of NHL 15 because it will get you early access to NHL 16. Imagine playing video games for a chance at $17 million. Well, that's a reality this year. Drug testing at video game competitions could soon be a thing. And we go inside the world of the locally made game N++.
Have you got game?
This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. My name is Momin Qureshi. Brian Calhoun is here with me as well for the second straight week. No Christine Chubb.
What are you talking about? Christine's right there.
I know, we promised.
Red hair.
Yes, we do have...
Again.
You're back for the second week in a row, Patrick Lucciani of 680 News.
Have I done back-to-backs before?
Never. I don't think so.
I realize the joke's not funny. I just hope people will appreciate my dedication to this anti-ginger stance that we have going on.
Yes, I am a ginger.
No,
for
don't
anybody.
Say we. There's no we. I am not anti-ginger. You. There's no we here. I am perfectly fine with having gingers on
Thanks,
our show.
Moment.
Yeah, no problem. I don't think we've ever actually had somebody who wasn't one of the permanent hosts do back-to-back weeks before. Not on my memory, I don't think. Brian? 6.5, 7 years?
I've done back-to-back shows.
Yeah, but unfortunately, you've done several shows in a row. But Christine, who was on vacation last week, unfortunately messaged me this morning saying her voice is pretty much gone. And I don't know if you understand how radio works, but that's pretty bad for the radio business. If you can't talk on the radio, it's really just a lot of dead air.
Yeah,
as hard as you can try. So that wasn't good. So I messaged Patrick in a sense of urgency this afternoon. And he was nice enough to come in.
Yeah, why not? It's always a pleasure to be here with you guys.
Oh, you're such a good liar.
I
appreciate
know.
That. Although I am a little concerned, though, because last week we talked about how we have the replace a ginger with a ginger philosophy on this show.
Policy,
thank you. And we joked about how you were going to try to make Christine six.
Yeah,
so you could,
I feel kind of bad.
Yeah,
now
like
that
we
I
joked
said
about how you were going to make Christine six so you could fill in, and now she's conspicuously sick,
well,
Patrick.
I read your text, and I was hoping that you didn't think that because it's like, well, I hope Momin doesn't think I've drugged Christine or something.
Well, I definitely think that now.
Like, get better.
I don't know, Brian. I'm like, I don't want to drink any like anything that you hand me now.
Yeah.
Don't come over.
Don't come over for dinner at my place.
I'm not a ginger though, so I mean, I guess that makes me safe. But I don't know. But feel better, Christine. We will have a Murdoch Mysteries episode and try to convict Patrick here of getting you intentionally sick. But I believe Christine will be back next week. I won't. I'll be on vacation. But hopefully, Christine will be back next week. You might do a three-peat next week. Who knows? We'll see. We'll have to see.
Sorry to everybody if that happens.
We're going to begin our week with some NHL news. Now we know that last year, one of the big complaints about NHL 15 was that the EA Sports Hockey League was not available in that one. Mm-hmm. It will be available in NHL 16. And I guess to quasi make it up to NHL 15 owners, you'll get to be in the beta for NHL 16, EASHL, as it is called. So later this month, when EA launches that, you'll be able to do it. All you got to do is put in your copy of NHL 15, boot it up. You'll see a listing for the game's menu. Once you download it, you won't need to be playing you won't need to have the NHL 15 disc in anymore. You can just do it separately. But if you own a copy of NHL 15, you still have yours. You can get on the beta of the EA Sports Hockey League for NHL 16. However, because NHL 16 is an exclusive to the Xbox One and the PS4, if you have NHL 15 on the Xbox 360 or the PS3, this does not apply to you. Unfortunately, you won't be able to do it, which sucks. But them's the breaks.
And I was going to say on the bright side, although I'm not entirely sure this would be considered a bright side for people who are still upset about what happened with NHL 15, but if you only own a Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3, you cannot buy NHL 16. They're not going to sell it to you. Instead, they're going to sell you something called NHL Legacy Edition, which I'm not entirely sure what that is. This has not been confirmed, but my theory is that it's basically a redone version of last year's game, basically last year's game with a few tweaks and an updated roster, and that's pretty much it. The NHL 16 game that they're talking about, that they're showing to press, that they are pulling out at every opportunity, That's only going to be available for the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know we have to move on, but very quickly, I just want to say that I really hope that this does not bite EA Sports in the rear end again. Because as we discussed with Sean Ramjack Singh many times before, they do not have much time to make that game. If they lose any time, well, that's just time they can never make up. It just makes the game a lesser product. And now they have to put out a beta on top of making their game. I know they feel the need to apologize and make up for what happened last year, but at a certain point, I just hope that all this making up doesn't really get in the way of the game they're going to put out this year. Because if they put out a bad product this time, how are they going to make a game and then also do what they feel that they need to make up for that bad product? They've never put that much in terms of resources into the franchise as a whole.
You are listening to Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Moman, Brian, and Patrick are with you around the table. Now, we know that the International is coming up very soon, in fact, August 3rd, so it's just a week and a bit away. For those of you who don't know what that is the tournament where people play the game Dota 2. It's a RTS game, real-time strategy game, that people play on the PC, and it's a huge deal, as in it is held in a 20,000-seat basketball arena in Seattle. It was sold out last year. It was broadcast on ESPN.
I was about to say, if you do not remember this game, just remember last year when they were talking about ESPN showcasing video games. That's the video game they were showing.
Right. So here's the thing. Last year, the prize money was something like...
It was $10 million.
Yeah.
This and it was crowdfunded from the community of Dota 2 or... StarCraft, it was one of them. It was one of those games. They were selling in-game items, like items specifically themed around the International, the tournament that's held for Dota 2 every year. And through sales of that alone, they raised $10 million.
The inventory for Dota 2 on Steam is huge. And there are specific items that sell upwards of $100 or more.
Are you a player?
You know what? I've tried it. Once.
And
it's intimidating. Holy crap.
Yeah.
It's not a game where you can just kind of drop in on a multiplayer game and have people welcome you. You will get yelled at and screamed out of that game if you don't know what you're doing.
Like the what are you doing here thing?
Yeah.
Noob, get out of here.
Oh, yeah. It's brutal. It's ruthless. So I played it for a bit, and I just... It's too daunting.
And the thing is, you're a PC player, so you've got lots of experience playing Dota-type games.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you
when I dropped into Dota 2 and I'm not familiar with any of the characters or anything like that, I can't say the things.
Is there a hotkey for them to insult you based on your hair color?
I wouldn't be surprised. No, I wouldn't be surprised. But
get out of here, you ginger.
Yeah, it was things were said that was worse than that. But you know.
Well, here's the thing. The reason we bring it up is Calhoun. You're right. Last year when we were talking about it, $10 million was a baffling number. This year. So far, and there's still a little over a week to go, so far the prize money is totaled at $17.2 million.
Yep.
I'm going to say that number again. $17.2 million, which means the winning team will take home $6.2 million.
Really? Is that all?
Yeah, they split it between like 16 teams or something like that.
Yeah, okay. So first place is $6.2 million, and if you go all the way down to the last place, the 16th place team that collects money...
Is this NASCAR where everyone gets paid?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So first place, $6.2 million. Second place, there's a huge difference. It's $2.6 million. So there's almost a $4 million gap between first and second.
So there's a pretty big incentive to win.
Yeah, there's a huge... but I like that, though. I like that there's a massive incentive. I mean, there's already bragging rights and everything, but I mean, the money helps. And then it goes all the way down to 16th place, which gets $51,000. Even if you finish last in this tournament, I don't know if that is last, but let's say you finish 16th in this tournament, $51,000 is still a pretty
decent
amount of money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably your entrance fee and your flight and your hotel and then some.
Yeah, and then some.
And then some.
Yeah.
Because how much you paid on that flight...
Yeah, I'm going on vacation after that for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to remember it's divided amongst your team. So if you divide it amongst... How many people are on a team?
Is it four
here?
Or five players?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
It should be five players on a Dota team.
Five?
So, five
still,
people.
So 50,
the winners will walk away with
10,000 a person.
Yeah, the winners will walk away with over $6 million to share between five players. So five players, that's 10. Yeah, that's 10 grand a person.
Yeah.
Yeah. $10,000 for
easily.
Last.
Like,
yeah, sure.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Even first place.
How do we get into this tournament and then
let's make a team. Let's make a team. No, whatever.
and then get ourselves booted out.
I'll get yelled at for $10,000.
Yeah, well, I will happily get yelled at for $10,000.
I'm sorry, guys, we can't do this because I need you guys to form a Rocket League team with me.
I want this to be so popular for like ESL sport. Like,
did
I
you
want,
play it? Because you said you were going to get it. Did you,
no,
did you
but
it
it's free, so I'm downloading it actually like tomorrow morning. But I want to see this turn into a big thing.
I can see
like
it.
Where it's in stadiums and there's commentary, because it's so easy to do.
Of course.
Like the commentary, I mean, at least in the, well, in
it's,
the
it's
matches.
Like, it's like soccer.
Yeah, and they're like, what, 5-minute matches pretty much?
Yep, 5 minutes, unless it's tied.
Yeah.
Then it goes to a sudden death overtime.
Which gets even more exciting.
Yeah.
I see money here. That's all I see.
For those,
guys, sorry, before we move on. I may have spent 4.5 hours yesterday playing Rocket League.
Good.
I'm actually proud of you when you say that. Normally I would criticize you, but I'm actually proud of you for saying that.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Rocket League is this game where you play soccer with trucks, like where you're actually driving in the trucks and you knock the ball around and you score goals. And it's insanely popular right now. It's all over like the social media. Mm-hmm. People are talking about it, and it's free to play on the PlayStation 4.
It's $20 on PC.
Is it? Okay, yeah. There you go.
And it will be $20 on the PlayStation 4 once they're... It's the current like game of the month.
Yeah.
Because on the PlayStation Network, and also on the Xbox Live Network, but right now on the PlayStation Network, they do have a game that's free for a certain amount of time. Right now, Rocket League is the game, which is certainly helping with the popularity of the game. But eventually when that ends, it'll be $20.
And Brian, you had a review of it last week. So if you missed it last week, you can go to sportsnet590.ca or check iTunes or tune in for last week's episode where Brian did a pretty in-depth review of what appears to be a very, very, very fun game.
For entertainment time versus money, for those two back and forth, this is the best imaginary $20 I've ever spent. Mm-hmm. Because I've gotten so much time out of Rocket League. Last night was just 4 hours, and that was not the only time this week I've played Rocket League.
Hmm. Interesting. Just to go back to the Dota 2 stuff, 17 million. There's an article on Vice where they talk about how that's too much money for the winners, $6 million. I gotta disagree with that, you know? Like you,
that's
play...
like that YouTube guy going, sure, I make $40 million a year.
Oh, PewDiePie?
PewDiePie.
But money can't buy you happiness. I disagree with that.
Well, I don't know if it can buy you happiness, but it can buy you a lot of stuff. That's for sure.
Which would make me happy.
But
and then isn't that happiness?
But here's the thing. These guys who play Dota 2 aren't just your regular players. They're really good. They're really good. And there are people who think they're good, and then they play these guys, or girls, mm-hmm. and then they get schooled.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's crowdfunded. So if you can go out there and you can win this tournament, good for you. Earn that $6 million. I don't think it's too much.
And the
More
other,
power to you.
And the other thing is, it's not like the community's outraged about how much money they're
getting,
because it's raised by the community.
Yeah.
If the community's willing to shove $17 million at 16 teams to duke it out in the middle of a stadium, well, go ahead, do it. I mean, it just adds to the legitimacy of ELS.
And let's face
e-sports.
It, you know, every member of that community wants that $6 million or $17 million that's available.
Yeah. And a lot of them will just show up to watch this. I'll bet you some of those people in the crowd that show up to watch this game don't actually play it. They just watch the...
We talked to one last year. My buddy Ivan, who was nice enough to join us on Got Game last year, him and his friends... Like 4 or 5 friends, they bought tickets.
Mm-hmm.
They bought tickets to the International. They flew down to Seattle. They got a hotel room, and they went specifically to watch this. They did not enter. They had no intention of entering, and they just went to watch it as a spectator
also,
sport.
I don't think you can show up to the International and just enter. I believe by that point, the roster has already been set based on like other tournaments.
Yeah, and there's no way they're holding this in a 20,000-seat arena only for participants.
Yeah.
They sold tickets to this thing. They broadcast it on ESPN. This is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fine with them making that kind of money. That's huge bank.
But imagine what next year is going to be. Because if you look at the growth of these tournaments based on the prize money year after year, $17 million now, $10 million the year before. Before that, it was like 3 point something.
Yeah.
So it's growing by like $7 million every year.
Yeah.
Next year, we're going to be easily over $20 million if the pattern continues.
It's getting catapulted.
Yeah. So all those parents out there who tell their kids to stop playing video games, now it's going to be the reverse. Put down your bike, get inside, and start playing some video games.
Join my Rocket League team.
When Counter-Strike the very first version of Counter-Strike came out and they just started to get competitive. I remember a story of a pro gamer who wanted to get into pro gaming, and his dad said, if you can make money off of it, you can do it, but like, go get a job. So he went out to a tournament and came back with like $10,000. He slapped it on the table and said, see, I can earn money from this. So, I mean, all the power to him.
I agree. All the power to you if you can make it happen. Absolutely. We're short on time, so we're going to talk about this when we come back, but it is related to what we're talking about now, and that is the Pan Am Games are on. Some people have already been thrown up for doping, but did you know that video game players get charged with doping too? It's true. We're going to talk about it when we come back on Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We've got game. Do you? In the game.
You're back listening to Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. My name is Momin Qureshi. Brian Calhoun is with me. Patrick Luciani for the second week in a row, subbing in for Christine Chubb on vacation last week, sick this week. So Patrick's nice enough to do the back-to-back duties. First ever in history of the show to fill in on back-to-back weeks.
I'm pretty sure.
I'll take the title.
We have in no way kept track of who's been on the show
really,
before.
If a listener wants to go out there and check through 7 years of archived Got Game episodes,
Go ahead.
We'll love you for it. It will be free of charge, by the way. But I'm fairly certain Patrick is the first person to do back-to-back fill-in episodes.
I'll take it. First ever.
Yeah.
On our iTunes page, I believe we only have like the last 7 shows. But on TuneIn, literally everything's there. So go to the TuneIn website.
Go tune in.
Yeah. Tune in to TuneIn. Search for Got Game on TuneIn. You'll find us.
And tune in
to like every show.
TuneIn's got to pay us.
Yeah, let's say never has TuneIn gotten that many plugs on this show.
Yeah.
Brought to you by TuneIn.
Yeah, they should be paying us.
TuneIn.
What's up, TuneIn? Help us out. So if you listened in the last segment, we talked about the international, what's coming up, which is the big Dota 2 tournament broadcast on ESPN, held in a 20,000 seat arena with the prize money this year of $17.2 million. But that's the prize money now. By the time the show airs and by the time the tournament hits in a week and a bit from now on August 3rd, it could be even more than that. But
probably.
The reason I bring it back up is because the Pan Am Games are on right now. And obviously, one of the big things that they're looking out for is doping.
Mm-hmm.
The World Championships are coming up later this year in China. The Olympics are next year. So doping is a big thing that they look out for professional sports. And apparently, doping is a thing they're going to look out for in esports now, too.
Yeah.
The Electronic Sports League basically said that they are going to enlist the help of a German-based national anti-doping agency to search and determine if a PED policy or performance-enhancing drug policy is fair and feasible and respects the privacy of players while simultaneously providing conclusive testing results. They are going to start testing for drugs in esports.
Yeah.
I mean, Patrick, I don't even know where to start with this. What do you think?
If you had come up to me 3 weeks ago and said that, I would have been like, what drugs? It's not like they're going to take steroids, like performance-enhancing drugs, right? But last week, on an interview on Motherboard, a pro Counter-Strike player, Corey Semphis Friesen, who is Canadian, and I don't know if I said his last name correctly or not, but Semphis admitted to taking Adderall, his whole team being on Adderall, and then the interviewer very nonchalantly said, that's pretty much what everybody does. You take Adderall, and that's how you, quote, get good. And Adderall's a drug that helps you concentrate, given to ADHD kids. And that's a performance-enhancing drug if it helps you concentrate
Absolutely.
On a game.
Anything that helps you get better at something in a non-natural way, I guess, is considered a performance-enhancing drug.
Yep.
And, I mean, if you go through the world of you know, competitive gaming, I believe that people could be on Adderall or speed.
What happened to the good old days when you just took sugar?
Coffee.
Yeah.
Or like shoot some Red Bull.
A chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Semphis mentioned this.
You want to know what happened to those days? $17 million happened to those days. The good old days, you weren't winning $17 million of prize money. And if you think about it, and I mean this like non-sarcastically, when $17 million is up for grabs and $6 million for the first place team, there's no doubt that the teams are going to do potentially whatever it takes to win, and that includes taking performance-enhancing drugs.
I mean, the ESL tournament in Poland that this event took place in, the event in question, the Adderall stuff, there wasn't even that much money in the tournament. I mean, there wasn't certainly $17.2 million at stake. So when you have that much money in a tournament,
it's not just for fun anymore.
No,
you know, you're no longer just playing with your buddies for fun.
Yeah,
I mean, and the thing is, if you're playing on a team of, you know, 5 players where $6 million is at stake for the first place team, you don't want to be that player that doesn't pull your weight. You don't want to be that guy that messes up or that makes mistakes or, you know, that doesn't come through in the crucial moment, and all of a sudden, a video game that used to be maybe a lot of fun is now filled with a lot of pressure to pull through in the clutch. And, you know, you don't know what the internal pressures of a team are. I mean, we hear about it all the time in professional sports. And this is now a professional sport. I mean, you're making this kind of money. That's as pro sports as it gets. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it stands to reason that players will do what they do in other professional sports and other high levels of competition, and that's do what it takes to win. I didn't foresee testing coming in, but again, when that kind of money is in it,
yeah.
I guess the natural progression is to test for it.
And ESL as a company had to come in and do something after they had openly admitted to taking Adderall during these. And it's like, oh, you know, everybody does it.
Yeah.
You know, they got to do something about it, especially when they're hosting tournaments and events where tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars are up on the line.
The question is, can esports move on from this? Or have we already entered the phase where everyone's victories need to have an asterisk beside it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know, I bet you... I'm fairly confident in saying that I'm sure part of this and the reason they're testing for it is because now big money sponsors are coming in. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, AAA, Fortune 500 companies are now getting into the mix, and they don't necessarily, I'm assuming, don't want to be associated with stuff like that.
There's no way you can build a league. And it seems weird to say this when we're talking about Adderall.
Yeah,
but when your entire league is taking performance-enhancing drugs, then there's no way you're going to get a family-friendly corporation like you would need to back your league in some way, being the title sponsor or in some other way. So if they want esports to become real sports, this has to go away right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as always, we want you guys to jump in. So at GotGame590 on Twitter, GotGame at Sportsnet590.ca to give us your thoughts on what you think about drug testing coming into esports leagues. I mean, esports has become insanely popular. It's huge right now. Networks, we talked about it, like ESPN are covering it. It's gone from being kind of a kitsch thing and fringe to now becoming very mainstream. And, you know, it's just kind of a heartbeat away from becoming like really part of the cultural mainstream. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a step away from making that move. And as always, in any other sport, you look at it, the testing always comes after the drug. I don't think there's ever been, you can't have a test for a drug that doesn't exist.
Yeah, and human beings, by our nature, are reactionary, not proactive.
Exactly. You're exactly right. So in this case, now they're going to clamp down on it, and you wonder if the gameplay will suffer. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not saying that you need to be on Adderall or, you know, some other drug to help you get through it, but if a lot of these guys are on it,
yeah.
And again, that's just one guy saying it, but if a lot of these guys are on it and suddenly you take them off it, will the gameplay suffer, or is it just kind of placebo and they think they need to be on it?
Well,
because the difference too is that if I take a steroid, it's not going to make me magically good at baseball. But if I'm already at the level of being an MLB player and then I take a steroid, it can help you get, I guess, that one kind of little bit of a step further that you need to get. And that's maybe the level that these guys are at, where they're already good at the game.
Yeah.
They're already really good at the game.
They just need that boost.
They just need that extra step.
To be ahead of everybody else.
And I kind of understand what you're saying, although in baseball it was my understanding that the reason so many people were, quote-unquote, taking steroids was so that they could have longer careers.
Sure.
Whereas this is more about concentration and be able to focus on your game more. But if we actually want to compare the two, I mean, there is no better case study than the Major League Baseball Association for a huge league having to deal with a major doping scandal.
Yep.
And it doesn't seem to affect the sales of Blue Jays tickets around here.
I mean, the Tour de France is still going. It's on right now. You know, that's still going. Pan Am Games are happening. Mm-hmm. Olympics are next year. So all this stuff goes on, and despite the scandals that have,
if there's an audience for whatever, I think that it does not matter.
I'd be really interested to hear if there is anybody out there listening to our show who is a pro gamer, who is on the circuit, who plays in tournaments for money. Let us know. Are we way off base with our comments? Let us know what you think. Send us an email, gotgame@sportsnet590.ca. Send us a tweet at gotgame590. And you know, you don't necessarily have to identify yourself if you don't want to. We won't say your name on the air if you don't want us to. But let us know. Are we off base? Is this person wrong? Or is there a lot of this stuff out there on the circuit?
Semphis used to play for Cloud9, who has a Dota 2 team.
Mm.
So I don't know if they're going to be at the tournament we were talking about in 2 weeks, but regardless, it'd still be interesting to see how this affects that tournament coming up as well.
Well, the testing hasn't been instituted yet. They're just talking about the idea of doing it.
Yeah.
So, if in theory, if they are using Adderall, it could be manic over there and nobody would notice.
Yeah, and there are going to be no retroactive punishments levied upon everybody. Yeah, exactly. The policy will come in, and when it comes in, that's it. But until that point, they are not checking. They are just actually doing a study with a German-based company. We did not mention that it was the National Anti-Doping Agentur. And my favorite part of this entire story is that the acronym for that agency, NADA.
Yeah. In,
how much Adderall are you allowed to use once they come with their policies?
Yeah.
NADA.
Yeah. You don't even need a company statement. It's just that.
Oh, apparently they're going to talk to WADA too, the World Anti-Doping Agency, which is the one that does it for like the Olympics and stuff like that.
WADA,
so.
NADA.
WADA, NADA.
Come on.
NADA, WADA. Oh, boy. You are listening to Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Moman, Brian, and Patrick are with you around the table. We have a couple of minutes to go. Brian, you proposed an interesting topic saying Pan Am's on right now.
Yep.
In our city. By the time our show airs, it'll be the last day of the Pan Am Games.
Mm-hmm.
Parapan coming around the corner. And you said, hey, Pan Am's got some interesting sports, first of all. I don't know if you people have noticed, but they have, like, wakeboarding.
You shoot a gun in one sport.
They have roller figure skating.
Yes.
Which is figure skating on roller skates. Bowling is part of the Pan Am Games. So we said, well, hey, why not have a video game as part of the Pan Am Games? And you said, you pitched it and said, what game would you want? So we all thought about it. And if you're a listener out there, let us know what you think. At GotGame 590, GotGame at Sportsnet590.ca. What game would you have in the Pan Am Games? So, Brian.
I'm going to step out of this really quickly. Obviously, I would say Rocket League right now, considering how much I've played it, considering how competitive it can be. Obviously, I'm going to say Rocket League, but I was wondering what you guys would say. And I was wondering, would you also consider a game based on a real sport? Or
yes,
maybe a collection of sports?
Yes, I would totally, absolutely have the esports version of whatever actual sports are there. So, like, archeries in the Pan Am Games, I would have, like, Wii Archery or, like, Kinect Archery.
Yeah.
I would have, like, Wii Bowling or, like, whatever. I would have whatever sport is there, I would also have the video game version of that sport available.
I know how much of a jerk this really makes me, but I thought that if Rocket League could not get in, my next choice would be the official video game of the London 2012 Olympic Games.
just to actually do it?
Just, here you go. You guys don't have your own video game. The Olympics do. Play that.
I like, you know what? I actually do like Rocket League as an idea for an Olympic sport. Because,
fun.
I mean, a lot of people can connect to it because of soccer or football, depending on where you're from.
It's a super easy idea to explain.
Yeah. And
it's not like Dota where people are yelling at you
because
you have red hair.
Yeah. And the matches are shorter.
Mm-hmm.
I just think everything is there in place for it to be a very exciting e-sport that you could see competitively. Me, personally, I would like to see probably Counter-Strike Go.
Yeah.
Only because I play it, and it'd be really cool to see that, you know.
Going for classic. Understandable.
Yeah. I would like to see Dota 2, except I don't think Dota players would come because it wouldn't be enough money for them.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
get out of here.
Only a gold medal?
That's it? This isn't enough for us. Forget
Where's
this.
Where's my millions of dollars?
Yeah, this is
they
no good.
They long surpassed amateur sports
many,
a long time ago.
Many, many moons ago. All right, coming up, we're going to go deep inside the world of N++. Brian, you did an interview about that, and some big news about the FIFA game right here in Canada. That's next on Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We've got game. Do you? Gameplay.
This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. My name is Momin Qureshi. Brian Calhoun is with me. Christine Chubb is ill this week, so she is not here. But Patrick Luciani is good enough to fill in. He is from 680 News. At GotGame590 on Twitter, GotGame at Sportsnet590.ca on the email, and you can check Sportsnet590.ca for the podcast or iTunes or TuneIn if you wish. We talked about some good stuff, including doping in video games and how much money is going to be available for esports earlier, so go check out the show if you missed it. We also talked a bit about the new NHL game, so definitely check that out. Some other news coming up here. A while back, it was announced that for the first time ever, women will be a part of the new FIFA game, FIFA 16, which is huge, huge, huge news. So all the teams from the FIFA World Cup will be available in this game, which of course includes Canada. Now, this past week, the word came out that not only will women be in the game, they will be on the cover of the game. And here in Canada, the best Canadian player probably ever.
Also, the best known.
Yes, and also the most popular. Christine St. Clair will be on the cover of FIFA 16 side-by-side with some guy named Lionel Messi, who you may have seen play for Barcelona and Argentina. But Christine St. Clair going to be on the cover. That's very cool. So that's here in Canada. In the States, Messi will be on the cover with U.S. national team member Alex Morgan. So congratulations, Christine. That's huge news. Really, really good to see. I think the Women's World Cup, I know, just for speaking from personal experience, I have nieces who are 12 and 10. They watched every second of it. They were totally enthralled by it. So it's having a major impact, especially on young girls in this country. And I think it's great to see somebody like Christine St. Clair on the cover. So good on EA for doing something that's neat. And it's about time, frankly. And so that's really good.
I agree completely.
Brian, we also have some Tomb Raider news.
Yeah, we already knew that there would be a difference between when you could play the next Tomb Raider game on the Xbox One versus the PlayStation 4. But until now, it really wasn't laid out for us in terms of like when everything's going to happen. So if you're going to be playing Rise of the Tomb Raider, the next Tomb Raider game on your Xbox One, it's actually this holiday, November of this year. If you're going to play it on the PC, you'll have maybe 1 or 2 months to wait. They're looking at an early 2016 release. Although we should mention that if you want to play on the PC, you're going to have to upgrade to Windows 10, which is really an annoyance. I don't know anything about Windows 10, but I remember like, hey, why don't you update to Windows? Was it XP to play Halo 2 on the computer?
Don't know.
It was something like that. It always bugs me when they like lock it behind an operating system. It's a computer, for Pete's sakes. It's not a console. Now, PlayStation 4 owners, as it was more or less said flat out a number of times, 1 year is how long you're going to have to wait. Holiday 2016 is when it'll be out on a PlayStation, probably November, because it's a 1 year embargo for the Xbox One. But yeah, somewhere in the holiday area of 2016, PlayStation 4 owners will finally get to play Rise of the Tomb Raider.
That's a long time to wait, but hopefully worth the wait. All right, so now we're going to switch. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a developer from an indie studio on talking about a mobile game. We're going to go local again. There's a game coming out called N++.
Yep.
And it's made by a studio here named MetaNet Software. And they have this game coming out, and it's going to be part of the PlayStation Play event next week. Now, MetaNet Software was actually founded in 2001 by this guy named Reagan Burns and Mayor Shepard. And it's an indie studio. They made N first. That game is free to play. Then N Plus came out. Now N Plus Plus is coming out. Brian, you had a chance to speak to Reagan Burns about N Plus Plus.
That is true. The first question that I asked Reagan Burns is, what is N++? He described it as a
futuristic and retro at the same time platformer. So you run and you jump and you avoid enemies and collect gold and try to make it to the exit.
That said, we should tell everybody listening to this that N++ is not your first attempt to make this game. The first attempt was called N, and you can play it right now on the computer for free. Then there is N Plus that you guys made and put on the Xbox 360. Now on the PlayStation 4, this is N++. And I was just wondering, what drives you to go back and work on this game again and again?
There's actually like a half-hour long story, but there are like a bunch of things that came together. One was that someone at Sony was a huge fan of N+, and they just asked us every year when we saw them at like industry stuff, please make a version for Sony. And a lot of it was just like, we, N and N Plus were both very rushed. And also, we've learned so much since then that when we look back, we just saw so many things that, you know, we did wrong or that could be improved. And it sort of ate away at us. Because, I mean, the game itself is all about, you know, perfectionism and trying to perfect your run and make it to the exit. And so we feel like the process is mirrored there, because we sort of just, we just wanted to take one last stab at it. And this time I think we got it pretty much as good as it's ever getting. This is the last one.
Are you sure there's never going to be an N++++?
No, that's the other thing, is that the naming at this point is ridiculous. So we have to stop here no matter what. And also, we're really out of level ideas. Like, we've completely, the whole point of this project was like, get, you know, sort of leave it all on the field kind of thing. So we've made like over 2,000 levels. And at this point, we've basically tried everything we could think of, and we couldn't make any more if we wanted to.
I should remind everybody that I'm talking to Reagan Burns of MetaNet Software, one of the creators of N++, the PlayStation Play game that will be coming out this week. Last week, it was Journey, which was why suddenly everybody was talking about Journey again. This week, it'll be N++ made right here in Toronto, but the plus-plus means that there was a N before and also an N+. And Reagan, I really have to ask you, I don't mean to insult you, but just from a business standpoint, it doesn't seem like the best financial situation to make the same game, or at least remake the same game over and over again.
Time will tell. We don't actually know whether it's a good business decision or not yet at this point. But it's what, like, it was sort of like a personal decision, because we're just dying, basically, to just give it one last, because we knew we could do a much better job this time. I don't know. I think it's like we have a pretty good, it's sort of a cult game, so we have a bit of a fan base. It remains to be seen how big, but we're happy with the result. But it's true that maybe we should have been working on other stuff. It's just like we have been working on other stuff. There's just the siren song of this game that it's like we know that we could do better, and that just kind of ate away at us a bit, and we just wanted to sort of address that and move on.
Well, it sounds like a soul-cleansing experience, if nothing else, because something that I know something about, not in great detail, because I have not made a game, but from the outside looking in, you always hear about crunch, you always hear about deadlines, you always hear about a developer is never truly happy with their game. There's just a day where that's it. They got to stop working on it. The product has to ship so that money can be made back on it. So I would imagine that there are a lot of developers out there that are very jealous of you and your ability to go back and fix the things you're unhappy with the game before.
Yeah, I mean, actually, that has been, it is like an amazing opportunity. At the same time, it's also kind of hard because it's like something we've always kept in mind is we don't want to pull a George Lucas and kind of take this thing that everyone liked and then ruin it by changing it too much. So we're skirting this line of we need it to be fresh and we needed to change it to make it better and to fix all the things that we thought were broken, but we didn't want to fix what wasn't broken pretty much.
Reagan Burns is joining me on the phone. He is one of the creators of N++, a video game coming out as part of the PlayStation Play promotion next Tuesday. And Reagan, while I have you on the phone, and as we quickly run out of time, I want to ask you about making video games here in Toronto. It's always been my understanding from talking to people making games that this is the city to do it in, that there's a lot of people, there's a lot of support, there are people that will just, hey, you want to pick my brain about how to do this for 3 hours over a beer? Sure, come on, let's head over to the pub. Those sorts of people apparently are very abundant in the city. And as someone who's very interested in games but has never made a game, I was just wondering, what's it like making a game? In fact, a game that's getting multinational buzz because of this huge PlayStation Play promotion that Sony's doing. How is it making games like that in our fair city?
I had never really thought about it like that. I mean, to be honest, the sale thing is just like, we only found out about it like maybe a month ago. Or,
really?
You know. Oh yeah, like we've been trying to get the game done for months and months, and we knew it would be done sometime this summer. And then, like, I don't know, maybe it was like 2 months ago. It's like we've been working so much, it's hard to keep track of time. But basically, Nick called us. He was like, "Oh, I have this exciting opportunity. Do you guys want to be part of it?" And we were like, "Yeah, sure." And so then, honestly, we hadn't really thought at all because we were just focused. Like, we're actually working on a hot fix. Like, we just found a little problem with the server earlier today, so we're actually submitting one last fix. But you know, it's okay. It's like a tiny little thing that it doesn't like break anything. It's just sort of like an aesthetic thing that we kind of wanted to get rid of. But anyways, so I mean, like, it's really awesome to be part of the promotion, especially like the other games. We shared a booth at E3 a couple years ago with Galaxy, and it was like super fun. It was a really cool looking game. But I mean, about Toronto, it's just been awesome. I mean, we've met so many. I mean, part of why we're making games is that when we were in university, we met John Mack, who's the developer who made Everyday Shooter and one of the two people who made Soundshapes. And yep. he'd made like dozens of games in high school, and he'd showed them to us. And we were like, wow, like a single person. Like, at that point, we just never really, like, we were into playing games, but we took programming in order to learn how to make games, but we never really thought we could just do everything ourselves. And so it was really inspiring. And I don't know, that was like, I guess, a depressingly long time ago, like 15 years or something. But since then, it's just like, we've just met more, there's just, there's so many developers in Toronto, and it's really, really cool because being able to talk with people about stuff and ask questions or, you know, share information or really just like throw problems back and forth. It's really great. Like the sense of community and just the variety of stuff going on is like really, really inspiring. And I think it's pretty unique. Like, and I can't think of another city that has so many people making games in it.
So that's Reagan Burns from MetaNet Software here in Toronto. The game N++ coming out at the PlayStation Play event next week. So go check that out.
That's the same event that saw the re-release of Journey last week. And I believe Galaxy will be the game after that on week 3, and I honestly right now cannot remember what the fourth game is.
All I can tell you is the re-releases are a big deal because all of a sudden in the last like 4 or 5 days I saw a lot of people tweeting about Journey, and I was like, oh, it's kind of weird that people are tweeting about Journey. Then I put 2 and 2 together. I was like, oh, so stuff like this is cool because it brings back good games, and Journey was such a good game.
It was
a good game.
But clearly you do not follow Snoop Dogg on Twitter, because the game he wants re-released is NCAA 14. He wants it to be part of that Xbox One backwards compatibility thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to get all of his Twitter followers to go to the Xbox website and vote that thing up, which I'm not totally sure that's ever going to happen, because you have to get the NCAA involved, and that's the reason why they've stopped making college football games.
They stopped making the game altogether.
Yeah, because the NCAA was tired of getting sued over these video games, so now going back and asking those guys to like put that stuff out there again, pretty sure they're just going to see that as a minefield that they don't want to step into. So,
although Snoop is a known big football fan.
Well,
big USC fan.
Maybe he puts in a little bit of his own money and just gets the wheels going.
He does have a lot of that money.
He does have money to burn.
He's not 50 Cent. He's not bankrupt.
No.
Poor guy. Literally. all right. That's
Hey, I do the bad jokes around here, buddy.
That's a terrible way to end the show, but that is where we're going to end the show. A big thanks to Patrick Luciani for jumping in and filling in for Christine Chubb. Christine will hopefully be back next week. I will not be back next week because I'm off, but Brian will be here, so tune in and check it out. This has been Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.